This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn alongside Glenn West, and we are far, far removed, Glenn, from those daily podcasts talking coaching changes. And now we get ready to move into spring football. I know we're all excited. The weather around Baton Rouge has just been peak performance for baseball weather, and baseball's been a fun ride to cover the first 2 weeks of the season. But go, we get ready for spring football, man. First off, before we dive into today's topic, where we're going to be talking maybe one or two questions that we have, you know, heading into spring football, how excited are you ready to kind of see what this 2024 version of the Tigers look like?
I'm super pumped because I do think this is going to be a year where you see kind of what that next step is for the program. You know, we've seen kind of these first couple of years, what I think a good floor for this team can be, you know, a 9-win team, a 10-win team that gets into bowl games. I think that's a good floor, but I don't think we've reached the ceiling yet. And I think you kind of have to think that year three, you know, you've made a bunch of coaching changes. You brought in, again, you know, 30 new players to the program to kind of indoctrinate into what you want to do. But I think the foundation is there. And I think that's something that, and just listening to what Brian Kelly's talked about a little bit over the last couple of weeks in some interviews that he's done, he feels good about where the standards are at, where the foundation is at this program. And now it's just about building on what you built these last couple of years. And I think logically the next step for everyone, and including those who cover the team and fans outside of the team, just can they get into the college football playoff here? And I think with 12 teams now, with that expansion passing through here, I think that is absolutely the goal, or the baseline goal, that you should have for this team. There's a lot of question marks, and we're going to get into a couple of them here today, but I think when you look at it here, this is kind of these are the standards that you want to kind of set going forward.
Yeah. And a precursor to all this, Glenn and I are going to tackle maybe one or two questions, but Glenn's going to be fleshing out a piece later today. I'm recording this on Wednesday. It's going to come out Thursday morning. A really thorough questions, you know, for each, if I'm not mistaken, Glenn, each position group that you're going to kind of roll with.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is kind of a teaser. This is kind of a teaser. Yeah. So if you're catching this and you hadn't read it already, make sure you head over to Go 24/7. Great chance for you to get a subscription and read some of the great content. So Glenn, you mentioned, and I did an episode probably in late January, middle of January, with one of our national guys, Brad Crawford, and just the national perspective, like the expectation has to be make the 12-team playoff. Look, I mean, to expect to win the SEC every single year, you'd love it. SEC just got a lot harder. That's going to be pretty difficult to navigate. But when you look at the goals, I agree with you. Kelly's made the staff changes. Spring ball is going to get us a chance. We're not going to see, you know, I don't know if we're going to walk out of there saying, here's the scheme, this is what they're going to do. But I'm more intrigued to kind of watch how these players have, you know, interact with the coaches. What's that like? You know, what's the relationship, some teaching moments that, you know, you see throughout the courses of spring and in fall camp. So all those things are going to be great storylines to watch. But let's get to the meat of the conversation here. Your big question that you're going to highlight on today's pod, something that you're watching for, and one of those things that you'd maybe a fan would like to see kind of fleshed out when LSU leaves spring football here in 2024.
So you could go a number of different positions here. I think you have to start on the defensive side of the ball. You could look at the interior D-line depth. That will be a part of the piece on Thursday. You could look in the secondary and just kind of all the pieces that they have back there that they're going to have to mix and match together to find the right combinations. But for me, and look, this was just kind of perfect timing. I was thinking about this for a couple days as we were kind of fleshing out this pod. And what wouldn't you know, Wilson Alexander, the Advocate, comes out and writes a big old story on it with his interview with Brian Kelly. And that's how they utilize Harold Perkins this year. We saw flashes last year of the player that Harold can be. I think he made some really big strides as a cover player as the season wore on. In that Sam Will linebacker role, kind of that hybrid role that they ended up settling on with him for most of the 2023 season. But it looks like now they're going to go back to the inside linebacker thing. And I think there's some good confidence that this go around can be a little bit different when you look at just all the factors here that are playing into this. I think having Blake Baker on board, guy who has proven time and time again that he can coach linebackers at an elite level. You saw what he did for Damone Clark back in 2021. Damone, I remember that season, talked so much about the impact that Blake Baker had in his development from a film watching perspective, from just understanding what the defense or what offenses are doing and how you can best go about diagnosing and attacking a opposing offense as a middle linebacker. And you saw him take immense steps that season. I think he finished with somewhere around 135 tackles and 15 and a half tackles for loss. And really kind of made himself into an NFL player that is now a big time contributor on the Dallas Cowboys. You look at what Blake Baker did the last couple of years with Tyron Harper over at Missouri. That's another guy that I think you're going to see in the NFL playing on Sundays here in the next couple months. We'll see where he kind of goes in the draft. He's another guy, though, over the last couple of years, Baker has really kind of molded into a really stellar inside linebacker. And, you know, he's got some really gaudy stats that he's put up at Missouri. And so I think that if you can do that with Clark, you can do that with a guy like Hopper. Man, the ceiling is massive on what Baker I think could potentially do with Harold Perkins this year. I think that's going to be such a huge question for LSU, because when you have some of those question marks on the interior defensive line, on in the secondary, you just want to have a guy that's going to be able to bust plays and bust offenses open and in the middle of the field and kind of taking over that role. And I think Harold has that potential in him. It did not go well last year. You know, we can preface that by saying they went one game with it in the Florida State matchup after spending an entire offseason trying to teach him the position, and they bolted on it very, very quickly. And I think when you listen to what Brian Kelly was telling Wilson in his piece earlier, I think it was a combination of things. I think it was a combination of Harold maybe not being quite ready for that role. I think it was a combination of the coaching staff maybe not getting him ready for that role either. It sounded like there was a lot of blame to go around last year on kind of how south that went early in the season with inside linebacker. I don't think you're going to have that problem with Blake Baker. I think he's a really phenomenal teacher, developer of talent, somebody that can relate to players. And he's a guy that recruited Perkins for a whole year leading up to when he signed. I mean, I know that he wasn't on the staff when Perkins officially signed with LSU, but LSU was recruiting him long before he signed. And Baker was a big, big part of that, I think, in those recruiting conversations in the year leading up to Perkins signing day. So I think there's some relationships there. I think there's an opportunity for both of those guys to get in the lab and really, I think the thing that you saw with Harold last year is he just didn't have a very good understanding of what he was supposed to be doing out there. And I don't think you're going to get that with Blake Baker. I think there's going to be a real set instruction here, of just development and understanding and trying to figure out why things maybe went south last year and why they can be better this year. So that's going to be a huge question mark for me going into this offseason or going into this spring over the next 5 weeks. I think you're going to see him a lot with Blake Baker. Those two should be attached at the hip. How they factor in what Whit Weeks and Greg Penn can do to kind of help out with the linebacker duties as well is going to be very interesting to see how they kind of mix those three in. Do they go with more three linebacker sets? Do they stick with just the two inside linebackers, which is what they did for a lot of last year? Do they have some kind of rotation or combination of those three? Be very interesting to see, because we do know that Blake Baker wants to run an attacking style defense. And there's no greater attacker, I think, in college football than Harold Perkins. There's no more. And I think the kind of the development that he has this offseason will allow him to maybe not be so hesitant this next coming year. Once fall kickoff here and against USC in Las Vegas. So can you get him to be more aggressive? Can you get him to be a player that's not reacting so much and more just kind of, you know, knows what he's going to do, knows where the ball's going to go. See ball, get ball from that position, and continue to develop as a cover guy and also somebody that can get in to the backfield and make some stuff happen as well. I think that he can be one of the most dynamic players in college football if LSU gets this right.
Yeah, I like what you said with question marks. I mean, look, you could go any way with this on the defense. I mean, it's no secret. There's some questions about who's going to play, what guys are going to step up. Having something in it – I mean, now that I look back at it, outside when Mekhi Wingo went down last year, Glenn, you really didn't have – it's like, okay, at least we have this. Like, we know that this spot on the defense is going to be taken care of. When Wingo was out, you know, the last four or five games last year, because of the uncertainty and the uncomfortability, I mean, you had Harold Perkins essentially playing like nickel at times last year. I mean, it was just absolutely crazy. If they can settle on that, it does feel like maybe some of the dominoes can start to fall at other places, because now guys know their role. They're not in a flux. They know what they're going to do, regardless if you play just two linebackers or three. You know, it also opens up some opportunities on the edge, too. I don't want to get too far into it. I know you're going to talk about that, but it opens opportunities on the edge where some guys can step up and make an impact as well.
Well, I also think here that, you know, when you look at kind of the scheme, Baker ran a 4-2-5, I think, for most of last year, a 4-3 kind of deal. But I think when you look at kind of the lack of depth on the interior D line, does it make sense for LSU to toy with some more three down linemen sets, which would allow for LSU to have a third linebacker on the field? Do you see LSU maybe going jack linebacker, nose tackle, then defensive end, and then having a three-star monster back there at linebacker with Penn, Weeks, and Perkins all back there kind of trying to make different things happen? I think those are some of the things you can maybe explore this spring. And look, if you don't like it, if you don't like the look of that formation, then you can certainly go back to what you, I think, always plan to do, which is kind of some form of a 4-3 or a 4-2-5, whatever it is. The fact that they've settled on, okay, this is where we're going to put Perkins. You know, they're not going to be toying with him a lot this offseason. They know where they want him. Now it's just about teaching him and developing him. And I think it could have a good adverse, effect on guys like Whit Weeks. I mean, like we saw Whit Weeks last year. What was the big strength of Whit Weeks? He was a big athlete. He was able to get into the opponent's backfield and make some plays happen on the outside. I thought he was actually a pretty quick reactionary player in coverage too. Like, maybe he's somebody that can take over what Perkins was doing last year and kind of be a Sam / Will, maybe kind of hybrid linebacker that can also make some things happen in the middle of the field. I think he's a guy that can go sideline to sideline and really kind of make some plays for you. He's like Perkins, you know, he's in the 215, 220 range. I'm sure they're trying to get him beefed up a little bit more this offseason now that he's had a second full offseason with the program. We'll be interested to see what he looks like in spring practice next week if he's looks a little bulkier. But I do think that now that they have a set role for Perkins, now that they know that they want him an inside linebacker, they can really lean into that and I think build the defense around that because – like I said, if they get this right with Perkins this offseason and he's the player that many of us think he can be, that will negate, I think, a lot of the questions or at least some of the questions that you have at other positions because he can be a dominating force and guy that can kind of bust plays open, bust series, make game-changing plays. And I think the closer you have him to the line of scrimmage, the closer that you have him in the middle of the action, the more plays he's going to be able to make. And I think that's kind of the ideal goal that LSU would like to have with him this offseason.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a really, really good point. We'll move on to my question here. One a piece, and then, like I said, Glenn's going to have a full-fledged piece later on Thursday, you know, talking about a position or position by position. Glenn, you know, when I look offensively, you know, offensive line I feel good about. I wrote about it earlier this week. I mean, is there a case for a backup center? Could Cohen Eccles challenge for that? Okay, you know, DJ Chester feels like the guy, whatever. Running back, obviously, you know, over the past month, there's been, you know, maybe some question marks there that are completely 110% valid. Quarterback, you feel good about. You know, tight end, you've got some depth. Kamorian Pimpton's, you know, his involvement is going to be really interesting for me to watch in spring ball because kids, you know, look, kids transfer like a year and a half. Like that's like, so, you know, is he, does he feel like he's going to get involved even with Tre'Davious Green coming on campus, you know, in the summer? All that to say,
you can't teach 6'5", 240 either. I mean,
you cannot. And Glenn is still waiting for that ROI, that return on investment of that. He said in Falking, that kid's going to make a big play. It never happened. But I did believe you. I say with receivers, Glenn, because, you know, I don't know if you're a fan of the movie Moneyball. Okay, the movie Moneyball, where they essentially say we can't replace the name. Like, we can't replace what we lost. We have to find a way to replace the production. Look, I don't know, guys, if you're going to be able to replace in 2024 the name Malik Nabers, the name Brian Thomas Jr. Now, other guys can make a jump. That's two first-round receivers that you're losing. Did they find a way to replace the production? Now, look, obviously, you know the names. Kyron Lacy comes back. I think that was huge for continuity in this room. Aaron Anderson, can he take a step? Chris Hilton, this is a guy who just feels like he oozes potential. I think that injury at Ole Miss on the last play of the game really kind of hampered maybe what could have happened for him during the meat of that season last year as well. They bring in the transfer, Xavion Thomas, and obviously the young man from Liberty, his name is escaping me, CJ Daniels. You have options, and then, Glenn, you get down to all these second-year receivers that are going to be here. It's not for a lack of names. I am very interested to watch because it's going to help a quarterback that, look, I know LSU fans are excited. I think Garrett Nussmeier is one of the top returning quarterbacks in the SEC. I think LSU's quarterback situation is one of the better ones in the conference. That being said, this is a guy who is doing all of this stuff for the first time. How can you make life easy on him? You have elite receivers. You have guys that can make plays. You allow him to be maybe a point guard early on as he gets more comfortable playing week in, week out in this new SEC. So the development of these guys over the spring, I'm really excited because we know what Cortez Hankton is. We know the value that he brings to this team. Can a guy like Kyron Lacy establish himself early on in the spring? Like, I think that is going to be a massive storyline to watch because, yes, you have talented guys like Thomas and Daniels coming in. That's great. But Kyron Lacy has been here. He's been in the program. He's watched and learned from some really, really good receivers. It feels like, and the staff may not say this, maybe they will, it feels like it's his time. This is his opportunity now to take up and step up in this leadership role. Chris Hilton, for me, we know Chris Hilton can be a vertical threat, Glenn. Does he become a more polished route runner and a more of a complete receiver? I feel like we saw bits and pieces of that last season. He said that he wanted to be that. That's going to be something that I watch out of this room. And then you kind of go down the line. I wrote about this, you know, on Sunday. You know, a name like Shelton Sampson Jr., a couple other of these receivers, Kyle Parker, like in a pivotal year two, which in college football may be more important than any other year determining if you're going to stay where you are or not, do you take advantage of an opportunity or do you feel like it's maybe passed you by already? This is a fast-moving world. Talent accumulation is constantly going. So I think that there are tons of mouths to feed in this wide receiver room. For me, I'm just going to be really watching who stands out early on. Do one of these young guys really make a, you know, push here in the spring to say, hey, coach, I can be a part of this. You can rely on me in those big moments. Or do these veterans, does it kind of continue where it went last year where it wasn't that these freshmen weren't good enough. It's just that the veteran talent that LSU had at the top of the depth chart was just that good. Does that happen again? I mean, is it going to be a top heavy in terms of production, not talent, in terms of production? So that's something I'm really interested to watch. Want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's a great question because I do think that there's I think that the way that Nussmeier is as a player, as a thrower, he's going to want to spread the ball around. And I think that Joe Sloan is somebody that notices that. You saw it in the bowl game there. I think he threw to eight or nine different receivers in the win over Wisconsin. And a lot of those guys had multiple catches. I mean, this is going to be – I think this can be a pass-heavy offense, and you're going to see – you're not going to have when Nussmeier goes back to throw, he's throwing. You know, last year with Jaden, you know, he goes back to throw, he could also dart for 25 yards, 80 yards in some cases for touchdowns. Nussmeier, yeah. He's going to go back to throw, he's throwing that thing, and I think that's just going to open up a lot of opportunities for guys. And you mentioned one guy on there, we've been knocking his name now for a couple of years, waiting for him to maybe get healthy, waiting for him to kind of have that breakout off season. I look at a guy like Hilton and I think this is going to be a massive off season for him. We saw it a little bit in the bowl practices. You definitely saw it in the bowl game. I think he looked like a different receiver towards the end of last year, and it was kind of after going a good bit of the season without really seeing much of him. I mean, he had some opportunities early in the year last in 2023, but as they really leaned into the Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas experiment, they really – or not experiment, but in the gauntlet that those two were, there just wasn't a whole lot of options or opportunities left for the other receivers on the roster. And so you kind of – I mean, you had Kyren Lacy come in there with some big plays down the stretch of the season, but really after that, you didn't really get much, I think, from a lot of these guys. And so you saw, I think what you saw in the bowl game was Chris Hilton really step up and he made, I think, three catches for 56 yards. The touchdown catch in particular that he had, the 14-yard touchdown, I wrote this kind of a predictions piece that I'm doing for, you know, offense and defense, and my prediction for Chris Hilton on offense is that he's going to have a breakout offseason. I think that he has the footwork, and now I think he's starting to blend the physicality with his speed and the footwork. I think that he's due for a really, really big offseason. And we've thought this for a couple off seasons now that maybe that this was his time. Did it maybe pass him up? I don't think it's passed him up. I think that he has every opportunity here to go in next to Lacy and Daniels and Thomas and be a real, real contributor there. Cause you know, people might forget, I'm pretty sure he came in with Garrett Nussmeier. Like those two were in the same recruiting class. I think he's one of the final receiver left from that class. I believe it was also the Brian Thomas class. It was the Jack Besh class. It was Hilton. And then Nussmeier was the quarterback of that group, I believe. So those guys have known each other for a long time. They've both been kind of team third teamers the last couple of years. So, you know, they've gotten a lot of reps together over the years as well. And just talking with a few folks around the program, he's been putting in a ton of work. I mean, he was one of the guys that was up at 5 a.m. with Jaden Daniels every week or every morning going over film and studying. And he was really attached to the hip with Daniels and a bunch of those other guys that were really trying to step up their game. And everything that I've heard, he's been on the jugs machine every day. He's getting bigger. He's healthy. I think he's one of the guys that could really, really surprise some people this offseason after maybe, you know, some might be thinking that he kind of maybe his time has been passed by. I don't believe that. I think he's going to be one of the guys to really watch. I got into a long diatribe there about Chris Hilton, but it's true. I think he's just one example of a guy of many that you kind of threw out there that could really kind of step up into the forefront this year. And you mentioned Shelton Sampson. I think he's another name. Kyle Parker is another name. I like where LSU's at with kind of their depth at receiver. And I think it's going to be an offense where they're going to spread the ball around. I don't think you're going to see the two lopsided, 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns, 17 touchdowns in Thomas's case. I think this is going to be a little bit more of a spread out offense in terms of statistics by the end of the year. And I think that Chris Hilton can be a major benefactor of that.
I want to add Mason Taylor into that conversation too, because Taylor had a promising freshman year, battled injuries, sophomore season. And then, like you said, I don't think it's an indictment on the talent that is there on this offense. It's just that Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas were that good. And you got, and if it kind of became a point of, we're going to feed them until you stop it. Like we're just going to keep doing it. And look, not many teams this level or the NFL are equipped to stop two stud receivers like LSU had this past season. So really, really good stuff there on the receivers. And then Glenn talking about Harold Perkins as well. You can catch a full piece though over on our website, Go247. Glenn's going to be highlighting that fantastic stuff coming there from Mr. West that you want to check out. Glenn, I just called you Mr. West. Is that like, do people refer to that as your father? Like, have you ever been referred to that?
I've never been referred to Mr. West. I'm always, kind of the funny joke that we go with in the family is that I'm 6'10", but they've always called me Little Glenn. So they keep calling me Little Glenn, even though I'm the tallest in the family by a wide margin. So, that's kind of what I go by.
Hey, well, that's exciting. Hey, it's also exciting too. Baseball in full swing. The weather has been great. Offense, Jay Johnson wants it to pick up. Big weekend series over in Houston. They're going to be playing Rice on Wednesday night. They played Rice on Wednesday night. Texas, UL Lafayette, and then obviously Texas State over the weekend. Stay tuned. And then Glenn, we might be talking about some NIT basketball, you know, in the next month or so. So we'll see what happens. But I did want to say this. I said this on the recruiting pod yesterday, and Glenn and Sonny got on to me. Glenn, he said, it's okay to be a fan. Okay, I'm a fan of Matt McMahon. I like what he does. I like his mentality. It's hard to not root for a guy like him. When you look back 365 days ago, to be in the spot that LSU men's basketball is right now, I think it's a job well done by that staff and a job well done by this roster to really buy into what he wants. And, man, it is made for an up and down roller coaster, but some really special moments here in year two. So before we get out of here, are you excited to see what this team can do down the stretch?
Yeah, I am. I mean, look, there's some up and down with this team. You know, look, the win over Georgia, it was an ugly win. McMahon said it so after the game. But I think the bigger question or the bigger thing that we've learned is that they've figured out a way to win some of these close games. And they've been competitive. Like, they've been competitive in a lot of these SEC games where maybe we didn't think that they would be. A play here and a play there, and you could be looking at a 3 or 4 win conference team right now, but they make those plays down the stretch, and they've done a nice job, I think, here recently. They've done a good job of making sure that it goes their way and making some plays down the stretch. So that's an encouraging sign. I do think that they can get into the NIT conversation. I'm not sure that they're in there right now as of this moment. You know, you win 2 of your next 3, 3 of your next 3, and I think you're in a very different conversation. You're looking at a 9-9, 10-8 SEC team. I think that's right there to be in the postseason picture. And, you know, that would obviously also mean you have some momentum going into the tournament as well in a couple weeks here. So, I think it's been – you're in a lot better spot than you were a year ago at this time. And that's credit to a lot of the players they brought in, but also with what Matt McMahon's done as well.
Exciting times. Basketball, college basketball, both on the men and women's side. Women keep plugging along. And then baseball, a lot of fun. And then spring football. No better time to sign up over Go247. You can catch stuff from myself, Glenn West, and Sonny Ship as we, man, really ramp up this really fun time of the year and get ready to roll into summer. And before you know it, Glenn, it'll be time to head to Dallas for SEC Media Days and roll into another college football season, which I know Glenn is pumped about going to Vegas. Glenn, am I right in saying you got a fantasy football draft that you're kicking off in Vegas that weekend?
We're still in plans. We're trying to get the whole crew there to Vegas to kind of do like a – if anybody's seen The League, there's a show called The League where they went to Vegas for one of the draft episodes. I think we're trying to ideally have something like that, but still got a long ways to go in planning that out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Glenn West, my name is Bryce Coon. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether it's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Give us a subscription, follow there, and also hit that subscribe button on YouTube as well. Like the video. Let us know what you think below. We're going to have some questions Glenn's going to highlight in an article. You can find that link down below. But also, too, what do you think? Let us know. We'll talk to you next time here on the Go247 Podcast.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.